mandate is to maximize the revenue from these lands for mental health beneficiary services in the state of Alaska.
Land swap discussions continue in Southeast and the road ahead for a local animal shelter. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The Alaska Marine Highway Ferry, the Aurora, made it back into the water this weekend after four cancellations due to weather, repairs, and community events in Southeast. Strong winds and freezing spray forced the ship to drop sailing after sailing through the Lynn Canal recently, with stormy weather keeping the ferry tied up again on Friday. Officials say freezing sea spray kicked up by strong winds can make the ship top-heavy and dangerously tippy, but the Aurora has been able to make sailings to other parts of Southeast while it couldn't make it to Haines and Skagway. The Aurora's schedule also changed Saturday to make a Huna stop for its regular Juneau to Angoon sailing. Marine Highway officials say the 10:15 a.m. stop accommodated passengers traveling to a 40-day memorial dinner. The Aurora usually sails in Prince William Sound. It's been filling in for sister ship, the Leconte, which is undergoing an upgrade and renovation project at Vigor Marine Shipyard in Portland. The Aurora will head north April 1st, leaving a two-week break in service to Angoon and Tenneke. The Leconte will resume sailing April 16th. For more information, call the reservations office at 1-800-642-0066 or go online to ferryalaska.com. Alaska's Mental Health Trust Authority continues to push for a land swap in Southeast. It would trade sensitive acreage near seven communities for timberlands on or near Prince of Wales Island. But congressional officials say it'll not happen anytime soon. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Mental Health Trust owns land in or near Juneau, Sitka, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Ketchikan that many locals want to keep relatively undeveloped. Additional acreage is near Skagway and Myers Chuck. But leaving the land as is conflicts with its owner's purpose.
Our mandate is to maximize the revenue from these lands for mental health beneficiary services in the state of Alaska.
Paul Slenkamp works for the Ketchikan office of the Mental Health Trust Authority. He says the solution, proposed about a year ago, is a trade with the U.S. Forest Service. It would swap about 20,000 acres of trust land for about 50,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest. Slenkamp says appraisers will confirm the value to be about the same.
Since they've been identified as timberlands, where timber harvest is the primary method of generating revenue for the trust, we exchange these lands for some lands on Prince Wales Island that are a little less sensitive, that are already eroded and basically already in the timber base.
Land trust officials have met with Alaska's congressional delegation and are hoping for a bill this year that would speed the trade. There's interest, but no immediate action. Congressman Don Young's spokeswoman says staffers are working on language for legislation, but timing is uncertain. Senator Mark Begich's office says he understands the need, but sees a solution as part of a broader Tongass lands package. Lisa Murkowski spokesman Robert Dillon says it's of interest, but it's not high on the priority list.
Right now, our focus is on getting the Sea Alaska bill ready for introduction and moving that bill forward. So we will take up and consider the mental health trust issues after that is completed.
An updated version of that measure will be introduced this spring. Trust officials say their proposal avoids land Sea Alaska wants to select. The Sea Alaska bill would turn about 85,000 acres of national forest land over to the Regional Native Corporation. It would finalize long-standing land claims obligations, but allow them to be made outside boundaries established by federal law. Most of the acreage would be used for timber harvests. A Petersburg activist opposed to land trust logging near his home supports the proposed trade. Ed Wood of the Mitkoff Highway Homeowners Association says the swap would prevent landslides that could follow timber harvests.
If it happened, it would relieve all the public safety liabilities from the trust, and it would relieve all of our concerns if it was left as it is now.
Wrangell residents dealt with falling trees and other problems after trust land with steep slopes was logged several years ago. At one point, school buses stopped traveling Zamovia Highway south of town because of safety concerns. Wood and some other Petersburg residents say the same thing could happen in their community.
Our concern was that coming in and logging would increase the risk of landslides to the public living down below and commuting on Mitkop Highway. As recent as 2009, there were 4 slides in this area, so it's still highly active.
Wood and others are backing a bill by Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson adding such concerns to Alaska's Forest Practices Act. The Mental Health Trust and the State Board of Forestry oppose that legislation, which they say is not necessary. Meanwhile, Paul Slenkamp of the Health Trust says community meetings on the swap will be held later this year. The land it wants is near Thorn Bay, Hollis, Nocatee, and Whale Pass. Additional acreage is on Hecata Island. Slenkamp says half is old growth timber and half is younger.
One of the reasons was to try to come up with a volume sufficient to maintain the current industry on Prince Wales Island. And that was basically identified at 20 million board feet annual harvest. 50,000 acres would be able to perennially provide that 20 million board feet.
The Forest Service is tracking the land trade issue, but has a policy of not commenting on pending legislation. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
For more details on the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority proposed land exchange, see mhtrustland.org. Haines Animal Rescue Kennel hopes to have a new executive director by summer. But what exactly does the head of a nonprofit animal shelter in rural Alaska do?
You're like the chief fiscal officer of the organization, the CEO, the fundraising guru, the document publisher extraordinaire, customer service spokesperson, animal shrink to many.
Current executive director Sarah Jamont has been leading HARC for more than 2.5 years and decided earlier this year to phase out of the position when a new director is hired.
What it really comes down to is less what your previous skills are, more as the fit that what we're looking for. HARC is like full speed ahead right now. We're not lacking for anything. We've grown huge in our numbers and our membership base and our volunteers and the animals that are in and out of our shelter. So that's all, you know, comes with funding and keeping our grants up and our programs alive. So we're really looking for somebody who is a huge multitasker, and I think B just has the right personality and desire to take on this role. The mission is to provide for the animals, you know? You leave all the financials and all the grant writing and all that behind. It's to serve the animals of this community and the outlying communities.
HARC has 2 part-time positions with many more volunteers helping with daily and nightly operations. The executive director works around 30 hours per week or, as she puts it, as needed.
It's all up in the air once we walk through the door. You know, dealing with tackling literally dogs to get their nails that are curling into their pads trimmed for owners because they just won't sit still for them. To dealing with the federal government because a line on our drug permit is wrong. You know, sometimes we get emergency calls for euthanasia. Sometimes it's just somebody really wanting, you know, companionship and they really want to come and foster an animal and picking out the right animal for them and making sure we make matches for everybody's sake.
Jamont came to the organization at a time when there had been no paid employees on staff for months and board members were covering the shelter's basic functions. In her years there, she worked with volunteers on projects like the extension of the roof line of the shelter to preserve the building and remodeling and redesign of animal spaces.
Just lots of ties, ending up getting everything put together, you know, fundraisers that had happened 3 years prior, people bought all these granite tiles in memory of their past animals, finally got nailed it in. Okay, this is getting up. We're doing this. So, you know, they're up and they've been up for over 2 years now.
But along with hiring a new director, HARC is also looking ahead at some future projects like building space for dry storage and an office and upgrading the dog kennel area to be cleaner and make cleanup more efficient.
We're adding to the library's collection of dog training videos and it's multimedia material, like whatever we can find. And then we're going to go and work with the library to make a big display And hopefully do a little bit of pinpointing, like, oh, are you experiencing this at home? You want to see this DVD and this book to help give a little bit more resources to all the animal owners in town.
HARC is located on Small Tracks Road in Haines or online at harcalaska.org. Emerging artists handpicked by Los Angeles Performing Arts Center will spend a bit of time in the Lynn Canal this summer, but don't count on seeing them perform. They'll be on a cruise ship, and one that's never been in Alaska waters before. Crystal Cruises' 2011 season includes voyages from San Francisco to Southeast Alaska, including stops in Skagway, late May through August. On board, there'll be young members of the San Francisco Ballet, known composers and songwriters, students from Juilliard and the Berklee College of Music, and an America's Most Talented Kid TV show contestant. The 22 performers are all 17 to 25 years of age. Organizers describe the trip by saying, while tourists are sailing amongst ice-blue glaciers and serene wildlife of the last frontier, they'll be able to see extraordinary talent before they hit it big. I'm Tara Bicknell for KHNS.